Good morning and welcome to Nachyomi. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump and welcome to Sefer Melachim Aleph. We are going to be moving through Melachim Aleph at one perek a day, 5 days a week, starting Monday all the way through to Friday every week. For those who have not been on this, welcome to the program, and feel free to find any of the archives that you're looking for on nachnook.com. In the meantime, we're going to be moving through a perek a day. There are 22 prokim in Sefer Melachim Aleph, so this is going to take us really under a month to finish, and we're going to move through a vast amount of years in terms of Jewish history as we move through Sefer Melachim Aleph and Beis together. So let's just put ourselves back into place. We, in terms of context, David HaMelech is really at the end of his life at this point in time. This is now the rule of Shlomo. So the perek is divided into a few sections, which seem to be at first a few disparate sections. Let's do a quick summary and then some points to ponder. First, the Torah tells us that as David grew older, he could no longer be warmed by his clothes. Apparently, he was losing his heat, and so what his doctors or his servants said to him, said that he should have a young maiden, a young lady, to serve him, and she will keep him warm. And they find this girl whose name is Avishag from Shunem, Avishag Ashunamis, and she would serve the king and keep him warm. And the Tanakh is explicit that there was no physical relationship that was had between the two of them. Very strange episode that occurs here. That's episode number one. While this is happening, Tanakh tells us that Adoniah ben Chagis, that's David Melech's son, and decides that he's going to now sort of take the lead and become the next in line for kings. So he goes and takes to his side a number of the king's servants. Included among them are Yoav ben Tzruya, that's David's general, and Eviasar, who was the Kohen. Remember, he was the only surviving son of Ahimelech, the Kohen of Nova Kohanim, who served David. And he took them aside and he created a great party and sacrificed flocks and cattle and started making a whole party in the place called Ein Rogel. And he starts making it pretty clear that he is going to be the next power that's happening, and the king doesn't say anything. In the meantime, he doesn't invite Nasan HaNavi, he doesn't invite Benayahu and David's Giborim, and he doesn't include Shlomo HaMelech, who's now a young man. So in concern about this, Nasan comes to Bathsheba, who's the mother, of course, of Shlomo HaMelech, or not the Melech, just Shlomo right now, and says, look what he's done, look what Adoniah has done. So they make a plan where Bathsheba goes into the king and she says, oh king, you promised that Shlomo would be your king after you, but look what Adoniah has done. He's created this whole party. If you're not going to say anything, then me and my son Shlomo will be chataim. We will be considered outside. We will have been on the wrong side of the kingship if Adoniah takes power. As she's speaking, Nasan on cue walks in and says, well, I haven't been included in this. Is this what you, David HaMelech, are intending, that Adoniah should take power or not? Is this really what you're intending? And David HaMelech responds very clearly, no, he says. It is going to be Shlomo who's going to be my son, who's going to be the king. And so what David HaMelech does is he makes a quick about face, a very clever plan. He turns to Nasan and he tells Nasan and Navi to bring Tzadok, who's the Kohen who David replaced Eviasar with, and Benayo, and he called all the Giborim, and he takes Shlomo and puts him on his special mule, and brings him to the Gihon spring in the valley just outside of Jerusalem, and tells Nasan to anoint Shlomo explicitly as the king, bring him back and sit him on the throne so that everybody should know that Shlomo is going to be the Melech. And that's what happens. Shlomo Melech is anointed, and everybody is talking about it, and the people are singing and people are partying because of this great noise and excitement that Shlomo is being made a king. In the meantime, Adoniah's party hears of this whole, noise and entourage and parade, and says, what's going on? The news is brought to him that Tzadok and Nasan anointed Shlomo the king, and what happens is, as they hear this, very quickly the party of Adoniah disbands. They got very scared, and everybody quickly returns to their tents. This clearly throws the cold water onto these flames, and Adoniah himself is terrified, so he runs to the Mizbeach, that's in Yerushalayim, and he grabs onto the Kronos, to the horns of the Mizbeach, and begs amnesty, begs that Shlomo does not kill him. And Shlomo responds in very diplomatic terms. He says, if you're going to be with me, Leven Chayil, if you're going to be serve me, then you're fine. If you're going to Imra Timotse Boy Vomes, if you do anything bad, you're going to die. And that's how the Perek ends, and he returns him to his house, and the potential rebellion is quelled. There's a lot of things to think about in this Perek. That's the general summary. It's a pretty long Perek, but what's really going on over here? Let's just try to take a few things away from this Perek. First of all, why did David Melech have this condition that in his waning years he couldn't feel the warmth of clothes? He kept losing his temperature, his warmth. So most of the Mefarshim point out, the Chidah points out, but many of the Mefarshim before him point out that, remember when David HaMelech had that moment in the cave where he cut Shaul HaMelech's robe, even though he wouldn't kill the king, and that was very loyal of him not to kill the king, nonetheless, at the same time, apparently he was punished because the king is still a king and you don't cut the king's garbs. And this is a punishment for this. Why do they need to bring Avishag over here? Meaning, surely David had many wives. Why did he need to bring in Avishag? So it was interesting. The Malbim suggests that it's specifically over here because it was specifically to be a non-intimate relationship that she should be able to help him in this regard. Very interesting question as to what this relationship really was. Who's really speaking? Who are the voices? You'll see change of pronouns if you look through these first few psukim as to what's really going on over here. A lot to think about in this particular section. Who is Adonia? Why does Adonia think that he is Ra'oi for kingship? So if you go back to Shmuel Abayi's Perek Gimel, the very beginning of the Perek describes who the wives of David were and who their children were. The first wife of David was a lady who was called Achinoam. Her son was Amnon. Amnon was murdered by Avshalom. The next son was Kilav. Kilav is the son of Avigail, and he really sort of sinks quietly. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He sinks out of the limelight. He doesn't really play a role in this. The third wife is Ma'acha from Geshur, and she has Avshalom. Avshalom is murdered by Yoav in the rebellion. Then finally, the fourth wife's name is Chagis, and this is Adonia. So Adonia really essentially is the next in line, and he is now exerting his power. This is well before David and Bathsheba get together, and Shlomo is made a king. Why is it that Adonia aspires to bring both Yoav and Eviasar onto his side? And so the Mefarshim point out, Radak says, well, Eviasar and Yoav were both people rejected by David. Yoav was rejected as his general, Eviasar was rejected as the kohen to be replaced by Tzadok, and these are people who felt they had nothing to lose, so they decided, well, let's try to put our eggs into this basket and try to take the next in line, and maybe we'll have a position in his cabinet. And that did not happen. That was a bad bet that they took. When exactly did David HaMelech swear that Shlomo would take his place? We don't have anything explicit in Tanakh. So the Radak, the Chidah, point out that yes, when David and Bathsheba had their first child, that child died because of the sin. Immediately afterwards, Bathsheba said, David, how can we ever have a relationship? How can we remain married? How can I commit to this relationship when everything after this is going to be seen in the wake and the shadow of sin? David HaMelech says, don't worry. Not only am I going to say this wasn't in the wake of sin because I did the contrition for this, this new child is going to in fact rule. And that's when he swore to her that the new child would rule, and that's when she conceived Shlomo, and Shlomo was to be put on that pedestal. In a certain sense, what is at stake over here is not just Shlomo's legacy, but the legacy of David and Bathsheba themselves through Shlomo HaMelech, which is what Adonia is actually undermining over here, which gives a little bit more depth to the complexity of the betrayal that is happening over here. Last thing to think about in this entire parak, and that is how do all these pieces hang together? Why is it that we have to have all these different pieces in one perek? So the Malbim points out very cogently, as he always does, is that Shmuel Aleph was about Shaul HaMelech. Shmuel Beis was about David HaMelech. Melachim Aleph is about Shlomo, starting to be really about the rule of Shlomo. If that's true, this perek has to do more with Shlomo than it does have to do with David HaMelech. This is not about rebellions against David, this is about Shlomo's rule. Shlomo or Melech is anointed in this perek, that's significant. A king who is the son of a king does not need anointing. That is an automatic. He needed to be anointed, why? Because of the threat of Adonia asserting his power as the next in line as a Bechor. Why did Adonia assert his power not wait until David was dead? Because he saw David was weak, he saw David was confined to his bed, David was in a situation over here where he was being cared for and was not able to take authority. That's what Adonia took the opportune moment,
and this is not David HaMelech, who is still active and anointed Shlomo. So really the focus of this point is the anointing of Shlomo. These are the steps leading to understanding why that arrived there. It is interesting, to my own thought over here, is that the first voice we hear of Shlomo, Shlomo has not been a player at all in Tanakh up till now, the first voice we hear of him is a voice of Shalom, a voice of peace. He's not a person who is insecure. He's very secure of his surroundings and makes clear that that's how he's going to act, by diplomatically allowing Adonia to fall into his own cabinet, into his own space. He's not going to be threatened by anyone. This starts off the powerful reign of Shlomo HaMelech. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.